Matthew 24, we got in this last time, and Eric asked me a question about the desolation, and Matthew 24, in the first part of it, goes church age, tribulation, and people wonder about all this stuff, and you say, well, it doesn't make much sense, but I'll tell you what, we're getting close. We got stuff that's working towards the Lord coming back, and you say, when is that going to be? I don't know. I really don't know, but look in your Bible to Matthew 24. Look at this. Talk about the fig tree, and it talks about the sign of the Lord coming back. He says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. The fig tree is Israel. And he says, when his branches is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So Israel was leaning towards, saying Israel will be coming back to the land, and they start blossoming again. And the fig tree Jesus cursed one time when he came out of Jerusalem, he cursed a fig tree and it withered away. And when the children of Israel went into captivity, they went into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar, and then they still in captivity through Rome, and then Rome comes down, destroys them, destroys the temple, and people go exiled. John the Beloved is exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and the Jews are scattered. And the Lord said he was going to do that. So you got 2,000 years that took place. And then he says, now learn the parable of a fig tree when its branch is yet tender. And talking about Israel coming back as a nation. He said, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. So when Israel became a nation in 1948, they had to fight, man. Their very existence, they had to fight to keep their nation. And all the Arabs were lined up on all the borders, all the way around, they were lined up. And what I read a documentary, and I saw a documentary on this thing, where in 1948, they asked the President of the United States for help. They asked him for help, but he didn't give them the help. The Arabs were threatening, talking about the oil and all that stuff, they were threatening. So Israel was, they didn't have any planes, they didn't have what they needed, but they went in, and there was an American colonel that went over and got the army together, and he was killed there, but he was killed by the Israeli. And I'm trying to remember his name. I didn't do the research on that today, but he, American colonel, and he was got leave from the military, and the general let him, and he changed his name and went to Israel, and got the army together and fought, and they whooped all the Arabs. I mean, they got the land, kept the land. And they needed planes, and after World War II, the Jewish, some of the men that have the hierarchy of the Jewish government came to America and went around, knocked on doors in New York, all over where there's a Jewish community that these boys just came back from World War II that were pilots, and came, knocked on their door, and asked them if they'd go fight for their nation, for their country. That was, getting ready to be revived. And they said they would. And there's a documentary out, and talks about how these men volunteered, no money, went and fought for Israel. And they were able to sneak planes out of America. They bought off a black market and flew them up through Canada and crossed and down to Israel. They were able to get some planes. And if you read that, man, I'm telling you, they were outnumbered 100-1. Tanks, they were outnumbered 100-1. And they were able to whip the Arabs. 1967, they did it again. 1971, 72, they did it again. And Arabs are now trying to get it together. You just heard about in Iran that nuclear facility was blown up. And now the Iranians are saying Israel sabotaged it. Israel agents went in and sabotaged it. And if that's so, which I knew Israel wasn't going to let Iran get a nuclear bomb. Amen. Now they're set back 4 to 5 years before they can get a nuclear bomb. And they've already said if they get a nuclear bomb, they're going to blow Israel off the map. So there's more going on than you really know. And what happens is we think it's COVID-19 going on this over here, which is a lot of stuff going on. But like I said Sunday, God judges things by Israel. And when you look at your Bible and you look at things in the world going on, it's all going to be surrounded with about Israel. And when it comes to the Jew, and when that's God's plan, he's going to come back for the Jewish people for the rapture first, and then he's going to come back and he's going to fight for the remnant of the Jews that remains. But look at this. So likewise, verse 33, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. For as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that they were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. I mean, it was boom, that day. Noah preached 120 years about the flood, and it wasn't, they haven't seen water come out of the sky. There was no rain. Up to this point, there was no rain. The Bible says the water came up in the dew of the morning and watered the vegetation, everything else. There was never a rain. Can you imagine? There'd be no, you wouldn't need no roofers then. And there was never a rain. And so they were eating, drinking, partying, having a good time. Noah's out there preaching with his sons, more Noah than his sons. Probably his sons didn't know whether the old man done went off his rocker. And they helped build this ark. And until that day, when that ark was completed, and all of a sudden they start seeing all these animals coming up, and by two. And some of them, the clean animals came in by seven. And they started seeing that thing. They said, man, what in the world is going on? And everybody around drinking and partying, they was like, wait, what's going on? These animals, they're all lining up, going into the ark. And then all of a sudden, man, it started pouring, started coming down. And so look at here. He says, for knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be sudden. I mean, it's building up to it. We got it building up to it right now. It's coming up. And all of a sudden, man, it's going to be boom. That day is going to be. You know what Jesus said? He said, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. And when he comes, it's going to be sudden. And then the Bible tells you in Revelation chapter 3 that the Laodicean church age, they're all asleep in there. It said, we're rich. We haven't needed nothing. We're doing all right. But he's, you know, we'll get through this plague. We'll get through all this, and we'll be fine. Our economy go up again. We'll make money again. Everything will be good. And the Lord could come back. He says, watch. Look at verse 40 or 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doeth come. For this know, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, notice the watch. You got four watches in the night. The first watch is from 6 to 9. The second watch is from 9 to 12. The third watch is from 12 to 3, or yeah, 3 in the morning. And then from the fourth watch is 3 in the morning to 6 in the morning. So you say, where are we at right now? We're about 5 something in the morning at the watch. So when's the Lord coming? I don't know. But I want you to look at this. Go back, look at 34. This generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Now I was looking in Doc's in his Bible. He wrote down Matthew chapter 1 verse 17. It's a generation. He says that generation is not going to pass away till all these things be fulfilled. So the generation that seen Israel become a nation, that generation, you know, the World War II generation is dying off. They're dying off right now. They're in their 90s. He said, but that generation will not pass away till all these things be fulfilled, till he comes. So Doc wrote down in his Bible, Matthew chapter 1, verse 17, talks about 42 years as a generation. So we know it's not there. It couldn't be 42 years, because 42 years after 48 is what? 1990. So then you got Psalms chapter 90. Go to Psalms chapter 90. And I said the Lord wouldn't do anything outside of a feast day. He's going to do anything. I'm not predicting the Lord's coming back. I'm not laying any date down. Don't you think that? But I'm saying it's close. We're getting closer and closer as the days go by. And what happens is, you know, we get sidetracked. And people, like I said, keep on witnessing. Keep on trying to tell people about Jesus Christ. And because it's coming a day where, you know, people are not going to listen. They're not going to want to hear it. They don't want to hear nothing about the Lord coming back. They don't want to hear about Jesus Christ, salvation, hell, and all that. They don't want to hear it. They're trying to outlaw the Bible. I mean, if you think about this, you think if Joe Biden's group gets in, what do you think is going to happen to the Bible? It's going to come down the pike. It's going to, his crowd, they hate the Word of God.
Right.
Joe Biden is a moderate, used to be a moderate, but they'll run, you know. Who in the world would have thought a bunch of Muslims would get into Congress? And then that they would take a turn, the Democratic Party take a turn the way they've taken a turn and going crazy.
Right.
Who would have thought? And then the Republicans never opened in their mouth.
Man.
And they sat, and then, you know, who would have thought? Who would have thought America be like this right now? So what happened in the 60s, you know, after the, you know, Martin Luther King. But never like this. You got a pandemic, the whole world shutting down. You got rioting in the streets. You got China trying to take all the land that they can take. And the China, Bible talks about the kings of the East. So I'm not trying to scare you half to death. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just saying you can't stick your head in the sand and say, well, no, everything's going to be great. Click your feet together. Oh, it's all going to be good. 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 No, you can't do that. You got to keep up with what's going on with the Word of God. Now, the Lord talked about Noah's day. He said, man, he kept preaching, and all of a sudden, that day came. Boom. You know, Jesus said the rapture is going to be like a thief in the night when he comes. When he said, the angel even said, this same Jesus that you see go up in the clouds shall so come in like manner. He's going to come. And we know the rapture take place first, and then the tribulation starts. So, but look at this. A generation, he says, chapter 90 of Psalms, a doc in his Bible said this. He said, Psalms 10, the days of our years are 70. If by reason of strength they be 80, yet is our strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. He says 70 years, he went and you calculate 70 years, is 2018. So he goes and says there's 100. Then in the Bible, in Genesis 15, a generation is 100 years. A generation is 100 years. So in Genesis 15, 100 years would bring it to 2048. But he never said nothing about that 80 years. See that? He said, look at this. Look what it says in verse 10. Again, the days of our years are 70. All right? If a man lives 70 years old, he's blessed. But look what else it says. He said, if by reason strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, it is soon cut off and we fly away. So he never calculated 80 years. You know what 80 years would be? It would bring us to 2028. 2028. You say you make predictions? No. Nope. But I'm just saying the answer is somewhere in this book about when the Lord's coming. It's in here. And you say, I don't know when. You know what? I noticed this. Most Christians that's trying to serve God are praying the Lord come.
Amen.
But the ones that ain't serving God, they're praying he don't. They don't want him to come back. Matter of fact, some of them even doubting whether he's going to show up anytime.
Right.
But Christians now, before, a lot of Christians, they didn't want the Lord to come back. They said, well, not right now, Lord. I mean, you know, things are good down here right now. When things start getting rough, things start getting worse, then they start saying, even so, come Lord Jesus. Come on, Lord. Change your attitude. Very change attitude. So go back to Matthew 24. My glasses fell apart right here. Matthew 24. Now, Eric asked a question about in Daniel chapter, was it 9? Hold your place in Matthew 24. Talking about the Antichrist. Was it Daniel 9? Eric, do you talking about? Daniel 9. Go to Daniel 9. See, the book of Daniel goes right along with Revelations, if you didn't know that. And the book of Revelation talks about the end times. And Daniel talks about If you go to the book of Daniel, Daniel is, Daniel chapter 2 tells you about how the four kingdoms that was going to be on the planet. And it's still, that fourth kingdom is still there. I mean, it's still, you know, going on. So that's Rome, Rome in power. And you got this pope now saying there is no hell. All kinds of, he's changing all kinds of stuff, I mean, for the Roman Catholic Church. And the Roman Catholic Church, we know it's the great harlot of Revelation 17, 18. But he's changing a lot of things. He's a socialist. That's what he is. And you got all these senators now, they're socialists. Everybody's pushing this socialism, pushing that thing. And it's coming down the pike. It's coming like a freight train. It's hard to stop. And there was just a Cuban man just at the White House just the other day. They had it online, and this Cuban was talking about Cuba and Spain, how they went socialism, and his father was trying to get him away from it. And he talked about all the things, and he said the young people don't know what they're talking about, but the young people want to go socialist. Why? They want the government to take care of them. They don't have to work. They can play video games. They get a check in the mail. And, you know, not all young people. Now, I'm not saying that, but mostly young people don't want to work. They want to get a check in the mail and not have to worry about it. And that's why Bernie Sanders, I said, man, what in the world? But I'm an older generation. I said, how in the world could they follow this guy? Bernie Sanders up there, you know, saying, you know, I'm going to give you free this, I'm going to give you free that. And everybody's going, oh, yeah, this is it. This is it. This is the way we want to go. And I thought, he's not even going to get traction. But that guy got millions and millions of people following him. And now the ones that were Antifa and all that was on the street burning all that, they were Bernie Sanders followers. So, wow, what a crazy thing. But Daniel chapter 9, look at this. Look at verse 1. It says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of Medes, which was made king over the realms of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books, the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So when the Lord said 70 years, they're going to go into captivity and Jerusalem is going to be desolate. And the desolation of Jerusalem, it means that he's going to forsake it, leave it desolate. Nobody's going to go there sacrificing anymore. There's nothing. No Jews, nobody going around it. It's desolate. So he says, 70 years in desolation of Jerusalem. Why? The Lord said, the Lord says, I think it was in Daniel, he said, your offerings and your sacrifice make me sick. And the Lord's the one that instituted it for him. But they wouldn't follow it. He said, now y'all make me sick. And you know what he says about the Laodicean church? Right now, where we're living right now? He said, y'all make me sick. The Laodicean church makes God sick. Because all they do is a religious thing. It's a religious, like the Jews. They just do a religious duty. They go to the church of their choice, and they go in there, and they can have a woman preacher. They can have some guy that's a liberal, gets up, and he don't even believe the Bible. Some of them don't even carry a Bible. They don't even read in the Bible. Churches all over this country. And they're up there preaching. They're not, I can't even call it preaching. They're just talking, and they're not giving any Bible for nothing. They're not preaching on heaven. They're not preaching on hell. Or they're saying, well, we're all going to heaven, you know. But they're not preaching on hell. They're not telling anybody about destruction or judgment or anything else. They're not telling anybody any truth, nothing. That's why Jehovah's Witnesses, they pick up people like that. Because Jehovah's Witnesses are saying, look, you know, in our New World Translation, we're going to reign. We're going to be with Jesus on earth, which is, you know, a lie, not them. Look what he says in verse 3. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now, not very many people pray for your country. Not very many. I hope tonight when we go to prayer, pray for our country, pray for our president, pray for freedom. But not very many people are praying for the country. Not when it comes to, you know, a Bible-believing Christian praying for the country. He says, and you know what? I love America. I love this country. Thank God for it. And if it came down to it, I'd fight for it. I thank God for, if I could join up again and they had, I'd fight. And Mike feels the same way. I think everybody in this room feels the same way. I love America. Thank God for America. I still think it's the greatest nation in the world. But the devil's trying to just, it has to fall. It has to fall eventually for the Antichrist to run everything. I believe this. I'll tell you what I believe. I've got to stop here. But I'll tell you what I believe. I believe the Antichrist is alive and well right now. I believe he's been trained in America. Because the Bible says he's got a great mouth speaking great things, you know. And the Bible tells you that in Revelation chapter 13, the Antichrist comes out of the Mediterranean. He's like a leopard, yellow-brown. And he has feet like a bear, a socialist. Socialist. It tells you that, Revelation 13. They're leopard. So socialism is going to be the thing. And he's got a great mouth like a lion. He speaks English. I just saw where there's over, in this country, there's over 1 million Muslims from around the world that were being trained here in our colleges and schools and in the military. 1 million. So you say, are you against Muslims? No, they need to get saved. Need to witness to them while they're here. If that's supposed to be a Christian nation, we need to be telling about Jesus Christ. Down in Pensacola, guess the guys were being trained to fly the F-16s and all that stuff, and one of them got a gun and shot a bunch of American soldiers, military, shot them, because he was looking at some, you know, jihadist stuff online. So, folks, you don't never know who you're going to be witness to. You never know if you leave a track, who's going to go to, just like this guy in the prison. You never know. So just we're going to try to put the seed out, put the word of God out. We haven't even got to where I wanted to get, but we got to stop. All right, Brother Ken, come on ahead.